Today's Torah reading for Parshas Miketz, we read the Pasuk in Bereishis Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Lamed. In the previous Pasuk Chavtes, Binyamin appears in front of Yosef. Yosef clarifies beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is the identity, this is indeed Binyamin. And the question I want to ask you is, as we read Pasuk Lamed, what is the emotional response, if any, of Yosef when he encounters Binyamin, his brother in two ways? Not just that they share the common father, they share the common mother. And I'm going to offer you two options. Either you see it as a cold, impassionate kind of meeting, or is it really full of emotion? Let's read the pasuk. Vayimaher Yosef ki nichmeru rachamav elachov vayivakish levakos, and Yosef wants to break out in tears. He hurries himself because his rachamim, his sense of mercy, has been awoken, has been stirred towards his brothers. And he wants to cry. Obviously, Yosef is overwhelmed by emotion at this occasion when he meets his brother Yosef, his brother Binyamin, after all this time. But Rashi, on the Pasuk Ki Nimcharu Rachmav, asks the question on a deeper level, why is it that Yosef's sense of mercy is stirred towards his brother? Obviously, we can explain it on a very straightforward psychological level, but Rashi's looking for a deeper meaning. Moreover, Chazal in the Medrash revealed to us in Torah Shebaal Peh something that's totally missing from the Torah Shebichsav. What was, if at all, the substance of the dialogue between Binyamin and Yosef? Was there an interchange? And Rashi on the Pasuk Ki Nimcharu Rachmav explains and fills in the missing blanks. What went on at that meeting, at that encounter between Yosef and Binyamin? Rashi says, Shalu, he asked him, Yesh lecha ach me'em. Do you have a brother from your mother? I have a brother from my mother, but I don't know where he is. Yesh lecha banim? At this point, Yosef turns to Binyamin and asks him, do you have any sons? Yesh li asar, I have 10 sons. And Rashi goes on, based on the Chazal, and this is also in the Gemara in Sota Lamed Vav, to delineate the names of the sons of Binyamin, as Binyamin presented them to his brother Yosef. And some of these names are very strange. And Yosef Omar Lo asks Binyamin, Ma tivon shel shemos halolu? What are the meanings? Why did you choose these names? Omar Lo, to which Binyamin responds, of course not knowing that he's speaking to his brother Yosef, Kulam al Shem Achi, they're all indicative of my, or reminiscent of my brother. They're all in some sense commemorations of my brother. V'hatzoros asher matza'uhu, and the hardships that befell him, the hardships and suffering and anguish that he endured. And the first of those 10 names is Bela, Bet Lamed Ayin, Shen Nivla Bein Ha'umos. He's been swallowed up amongst the nations. We don't know where he is, but he's out there amongst the nations. Becher, the second name, Shahaya Bechar Le'imo. He is a firstborn to his mother. And then the third name of the third son of Binyamin, Ashbel, She Shvo El, he was captured by Hashem. Gera, the fourth name, she Nizgayer Bach Sanya. Nizgayer means Miloshin Geras, he dwelled. Bach Sanya in some sort of temporary inn. Naaman was his fifth name. Shahaya Naim Biyoser. He was exceedingly pleasant. This is the first of the names that seems to indicate something about the essence of Yosef as a person, as an individual, one of his attributes, his ne'imus. We're not talking about his suffering so much as his ne'imus. Then the next name, which is the sixth name, Achi, that makes sense, he was my brother, but then the next name is Verosh, Achi Haya Verosh Haya, he was my brother, but he was also my leader. He was my guide. I imitated him. I looked up to him. Mupim mipi avi lamad. Mupim means from the pair of my father, from the mouth of my father, he studied Torah. Chupim, which is miloshin chupa, shelora chupasi. He did not see my chupa. Vanilora isi chupaso, and I didn't see his chupa. Ered. Sheyarad leben ha'umos. Ered is because he descended amongst the nations. And all this, Rashi says, is based on the Gemara in Sota. And after Yosef was appraised, he recognized that the 10 names of Binyamin were all names that were given because of him, or shall we say, to commemorate him, himself, Yosef. Then therefore, now we understand Nichmaru, Rachmav, his mercy was stirred. Now, Rabosai, this whole story about names, we know that a name represents the essence of a person. When a parent gives a name, it's not just Dvarm Shel Mabakach, it's not just coincidental. There's a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh. And when Binyamin gives these different names, all in commemoration of Yosef HaTzadik, we understand that the names given by a parent to a child is going to reflect the essence of the child. How much more so in the case of the Shivtei Kah, who reached such tremendous levels of Ruchaniyut, of spirituality, it's no doubt in our minds that this Ruach HaKodesh here that is determining the names of their children. And Yosef HaTzadik now began to understand that it was Binyamin who understood his essence, Yosef's essence, and that's how Yosef, through Ruach HaKodesh, was able to give these various names. What I'd like to focus on, and this is based on the Baal Hamer Yenachamuni, the Tolna Rebbe, the fifth name, Naaman. Naaman, as we said, the fifth name was very close to the essence of the personality of Yosef, not just the suffering that he endured. How is Naaman pleasantness related to Yosef and his essence? Also, it's very odd that the name Naaman, given by Binyamin to his fifth son, is sandwiched in between the first group of four and the following group of five. And let's say, for example, if we take the name that was given to Binyamin's children before the fifth son, we find Bela, which means that he was Nivla Beno Umos, indicative of the suffering, or the Shevi in Eshbol, or the Geres Bachsanya in the fact that he's living in a foreign land in Gara. And then, even after the name Naaman is given, we go back to the suffering of Yosef, when we have the name Chupim Shalorach Upasi, or Ered Sheyored Lebein HaUmos. It's funny that in the first names, suffering, the endurance of and the hardships of Yosef, and in the last set of names, likewise, sandwiched right in the middle is this Ne'imus, this Naaman. And when you think about it, Yosef's mida of ne'imus, of pleasantness, presumably was recognized even before he was taken into captivity. It was something natural and inborn. So you'd expect that that might be the first name given by Binyamin to one of the children in commemoration of Yosef before he gets to the endurance of the hardship. Because if you look at it from a chronological perspective, obviously the first name would be Naaman, indicating a recognition of Yosef's natural inborn pleasantness from the day he was born. Now, sometimes to answer a question, you have to ask another question. There's another strange use in the words of Chazal of the word Ne'imus, of Naama. And that is a Braisa in Masechtas Sofer. Now, keep in mind that there's no Mishnayis for Chanukah. However, there are Braisos about Chanukah. You'll find them in Masechtas Sofer, which is an anthology of Braisos. And the Halach is taught there that where do you put the mezuzah and where do you put the Ner Chanukah? Both have to be at the entrance into one's house, at the Delos, at the Shar. And the famous Halacha of the Braisa, which is brought down in the codified laws of Shulchan Aruch, is mezuzah b'yamin, v'ner Chanukah b'smol. But what's unique about the Masechta Sofrim, the Braisa, it's a derivation from a pasuk in the 7th chapter of Shir HaShirim, where Shlomo Melech declares, "Ma yofis u'ma no'amt." Yofis is a reference to beauty, and no'amt, obviously a reference to pleasantness. My yofis, says the Braisa b'mezuzah, umano amt b'ner Chanukah. The mezuzah placed on the right is called yofis, and the ner Chanukah on the left is manoamt, is ne'imus. And we see from Chazal that ne'imus is connected to Chanukah, so that when we talk about the, in inverted commas, the coincidence of Parshas Miketz and Chanukah, it's not a coincidence at all. The link between the two is Ne'imus. Chanukah is Ne'imus, and therefore the Ner Chanukah is Manoamt. And Yosef HaTzadik is Ne'imus. He's given the name, well, I shouldn't say he's given the name, but his nephew is named after his uncle, after Yosef, as Naaman, because of his Ne'imus. And again, we'd like to understand why is that my yofis refers to mezuzah? Isn't Ner Chanukah my yofis? Or reversing, why is manaamt ne'imus related to Chanukah? Why not related to the mezuzah? Now let's begin by trying to understand what ne'imus is all about. We find ne'imus by Ner Chanukah, we find ne'imus by Yosef. What is Ne'imus? And what I'd like to present here, two different roads that diverged in the yellow wood, going in different directions, reflecting on the meaning and the essence of Ne'imus. On the one hand, we're going to try to prove that Ne'imus is a spiritual attribute. On the other hand, we're going to try to prove that Ne'imus is a social attribute. It's not spiritual bein adam li'atzmo, but rather it's social bein adam li'chavera. So let's begin with spirituality. A spiritual attribute called Ne'imus. The pasuk in Mishle, Perek Tes Zayin, states, Tzuf dvash imrei noam masok. Pleasant statements, imrei noam, are like the sweetness of honey. Honey, of course, is very sweet. So when Shlomo Melech compares the ne'imus of the imrei noam, which presumably is referring to the words of Hashem and the Torah, to dvash, that's also called ne'im masok. Tzuf dvash, why tzuf dvash, the sweetness of honey. And then Shlomo says, all this is sweet, la nefesh, to the soul, umarpe la etzem, and somehow is healing for the bones, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So the Malbim, who's the super commentary on Tanakh, writes the following. Ha'amarim, these statements, heim noam, are pleasant. Shehi hane'imus haruchnis. This refers to the spiritual pleasantness. Haba mi muskalim ruchanim. Muskal, miloshen seichel, means the intellect. When a person studies the imre noam, meaning the Torah itself, and its sweetness, he is studying a very spiritual body of muskalim, muskalim ruchniyim, and those muskalim ruchniyim impact upon the person who studies them, converting and transforming him into the imus ruchnis of a naaman. We saw this also in the Malbim, not only in Mishlei, in Perek Tes Zayin, but also in Mishlei, in an earlier pasuk, in the same chapter, he says, Hanoam, says the Malbim, this attribute of pleasantness, Hi harvut hanafshit haruchanit hamuseget beseg es hatachlis. When a person achieves his purpose in spirituality, the spiritual pleasure is that of pleasantness, of ne'imus. That's the noam that Shlomo Melch is talking about, is describing in Mishlei. We see clearly that noam is a kind of spiritual pleasure. When a person fulfills himself spiritually, he achieves not physical gratification, but spiritual gratification. That spiritual gratification, that state of being that he achieves, is called ne'imus. But on the other hand, ne'imus really means something totally different. Ne'imus, we can prove from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is a reference to Bein Adam Lechavero, to social interaction. A person who's na'im is a person who's kind, he cooperates, he tries to help, go out and help someone. And it's very fascinating that the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes the Talmidei Chacham Sheberetz Yisrael as man'imim ze laze behalacha. They give pleasantness one to the other in the study of halacha, in the Talmudic, what we call dialectic. And Rabbi Yehoshua darshins a pasuk in Zechariah Perek Yud Aleph. The Navi says, Va'ekach li eshnei maklos. He takes two rods, li echad karasi noam, li echad karasi chovlim. One I call pleasantness, and the other I call a destroyer. Noam, elu talmidei chacham sheb'eretz Yisrael. Why are the Talmidim, and how are the Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael, paradigms of ni'imus, shemanimim ze et ze behalocha? They try to help each other. Even if they have difference of opinion, their approach and their interrelationship is based on cooperation, on mutual respect, on kindness. They want to help each other. You have a svara, I want to develop that svara. I respect another colleague's opinion. Of course, I'm striving for the best possible explanation, but I want to do that out of a sense of ne'imus, of pleasantness. These are the Talmidei Chacham of Eretz Yisrael. They're pleasant with each other in halachic discourse. On the other hand, this chovlim, says Rabbi Oshia, that's an allusion to Talmidei Chachamim Shebebavel, and in that case, chovlim ze et ze. They fight each other. They try to destroy each other. You say as far, and I try to break you down in a very fierce tone. I'm ballistic against you. I try angrily to ask questions on your statements, or defend my statements with answers to your questions. There's a battle going on. It's literally chovlim ze et ze mechavlim ze. It's like a boxing match. And the opposite is true in the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Those chachamim are pleasant together. I remember back in my youth when I studied at Rav Soloveitchik for 5 years, and it was always chovlim ze et ze. You know, the idea was that unless you can ask a brilliant question that's absolutely perfect, your question was meant to be destroyed. There were those who couldn't take it. That was the Litvish approach of Talmidei Chacham Shebebavel. And if you go back to Lithuania 100 years ago, that's exactly what it was like. Destroy one another with a fierce and angry tone. They pounce upon each other. They rip each other to shreds. They basically accuse one another of not knowing anything. You're just an empty-headed person, and you'll see very extreme phrases even in the Talmud, even in the Bavli itself. But the Eretz Yisrael, their Chachamim, oh no, it was a whole different approach. It was an approach based on ne'imus, on kindness. It was an approach based on, yeah, what are you saying? Maybe I can defend you. a cooperation, and that's Ne'imus. So we see clearly from the Gemara in Masech the Sanhedrin that Ne'imus is a social kind of mutual respect, a kind of kindness and cooperation. That's the attribute of Ne'imus. Not so according to the Malbim in his Pirush on Mishlei. There Ne'imus becomes a spiritual attribute that reflects on the person himself as he ascends the spiritual ladder and he has spiritual pleasure. This is achieved and it's Ne'imus. Now, I would like to tell you a little bit of a story as a matter of a slight digression here about one of the great giants who was murdered by the Nazis, Rav Menachem Zemba. And there are many stories about Rav Menachem Zemba, especially during the war. One of them took place before the war, and it was the third Knessia Gdola, the great convocation of Agudas Yisrael, number 3. And he, Rav Menachem Zemba, would address the audience. Now, it's important to understand that Rav Menachem Zemba was not the first speaker. The previous speakers had a certain tone of voice. Their comments were critical in nature. And when Rav Menachem Zemba got up to speak, he asked a question. He said that Rashi, at the beginning of Parshas Yisro, in Shmos Yudches, says that amongst the names of Yisro, one of them was Yeser. And what is Yeser? Because there was a Parsha that was added because of Yisro. And Rashi says that that parasha is called the Ata Techeze, and you shall choose, wherein Moshe Rabbeinu chooses the great scholars to serve on the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Zemba was perplexed by the fact that Chazal called this parasha the Ata Techeze. In fact, the parasha starts much earlier, way before the Ata Techeze, with the criticism of Yisro, which he levied against Moshe, about the fact that Moshe would allow the masses to pounce upon him with questions. And he felt that Moshe had to create some sort of a judiciary system in which there'd be lower judges and higher judges until you finally made it to the Sanhedrin Agdola, the highest Supreme Court in the land. But why is it that the Parsha of Yisro, the Yeser of Yisro, is called by Chazal the Ata Techeze, which really is midway through the Parsha? What about Lo Tov, which is the opening line of the Parsha as Yisro criticizes the system? Says Rabbi Zemba that to start with Lo Tov, or more accurately, to call a Parsha by the name of Lo Tov, that's not a worthy title of a parasha. Chazal wanted to avoid the Lo Tov. Lo Tov means that critical tone of voice. You know, you're destructive. You're the very opposite of Noim and Ne'imus. Chazal would rather relate and define and name this parasha from the perspective of Yisro giving or offering a positive recommendation, advice as to how to alleviate the situation as it exists. And we see very clearly that the criticism is really to be left out. When you want to point out that someone is wrong, no, that's not the way to do it. The better way to do it is, let's offer another option, another recommendation, to see if we can correct the problem. And what Rav Menachem Zemba, Zecher Tzadik V'Kosher Livracha, was trying to do at that Knessia Gdola was to, in a sense, remove some of that sharp feeling, that bitterness and the meriris from the criticism of the previous speakers. Rather, he wanted to motivate those who would speak at the Knessia to ask them not to look at criticism, but simply to propose positive ways where the various participants in the Knessia could work mutually together to find solutions at hand in the spirit of the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, with Ne'imus. And therefore the Parsha, says Rabbi Zemba, is V'ata Techeze, and this is Ne'imus, not Lo Tov, which came much before it, because that's not Ne'imus, that's for the Mechablim. How does this, perhaps, shed a light on our discussion of today? Well, I think we're ready to answer one basic question. What is ne'imus? We had two possible definitions of ne'imus. Is it a spiritual attribute, bein adam li'atzmo, a pleasantness within oneself? Or is it an ne'imus vis-a-vis others in a social interaction in bein adam l'chaveiro? And the answer is that it's true that Klal Yisrael is made up of different people. And in a physical reality, certainly each person is a separate, independent identity. But these divisions, these differences that separate the individual from his friend, are a result of the physicality. If a person's neshama was not inextricably connected, dovek begufa, with his body, and it's the body, each individual body of each individual member of Klal Yisrael has a different level of physical desires, different preferences in this world. If it was pure spirit, imagine a world that was neshama without guf, on such a pure spiritual plane, there's nothing to divide the neshamas. It's not that our neshamas are divided one from the other. No. It's that our neshamas enter into, respectively, into each guf, and as a result of that guf, there's no longer one single spiritual entity, but rather there are components. Each individual now becomes a separate identity, a separate component. And as a result, we don't have that level of spiritual ne'imus. Spiritual ne'imus can only be a reality when our neshamas are Bine'imus. Bine'imus means have achieved their spiritual goal. And in that case, we are emphasizing the spiritual identity or attribute of man, the variable that is totally spiritual. And in that perspective, as a spiritual ne'imus, there's no room for ne'imus, for anything but ne'imus, in Bein Adam L'Chaver. There's no room for chavlonis. That's because we have pure ne'imus. So we see very clearly that ne'imus is both pleasantness from a spiritual perspective and from the perspective of interactive cooperation. It's really one and the same. If our ne'imus is ne'imus on a spiritual level, it means that as spiritual beings, we are disconnected from the pleasures and the desires of our body. That leads to a certain kind of unity and actus amongst Klal Yisrael. That's the ne'imus of Bein Adam L'Chavero. If a person is actually connected to that spiritual reality, if he understands it as a spiritual reality, he is part of a greater whole called Knesset Yisrael, then he will achieve ne'imus in not only the enjoyment that he derives from the neshama of Klal Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael, but as well from the guf, from the physical element. His interactions with other people is one of ne'imus. His focus is spiritual, and therefore he's ready in the world of physicality to reach out, to exhibit ne'imus, pleasantness, because he is so imbued with a profound spiritual attribute, a sense of ne'imus. When his focus is on the spiritual ne'imus, then he sees in every other Jew a potential, a beauty, a Yiddish neshama. And that vision, that appreciation and recognition of the spiritual entities that make up Knesset Yisrael is what brings the Jew to unite with other single spiritual entities, to become part of a whole which is called Knesset Yisrael, and of course the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. This is the combination of two dimensions in the Imus that's reflected by the paradigm of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. They are such spiritual individuals, feeling a sense of satisfaction in a spiritual sense from achieving their goals. That sense of spirituality engenders within them a psychological state in which they have no interest in fighting, in disagreeing, and becoming the victorious party, feeling that there are two sides. There's no disagreement at all. Each side is expressing a different perspective, a different emphasis, a different variable. And it has to be debated, it has to be worked out. There's going to be a voicing of opinions and dissenting opinions. All this is to join them together to attain the truth. That's the ne'imus of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, it's not easy to achieve a spiritual perception of reality. And the truth is that anyone who does rise up or ascend the mountain of God and achieve that spiritual perception of reality, that will spill over on all his activities, even the mundane activities, to imbue them with a sense of spirituality and a greater sense of success. That's the ne'imus that a spiritual ne'imus is going to engender in the physical world, a ne'imus that parallels the spiritual in the physical realm of reality. The problem which the Torah raises in Dvarim Ches called Kochi V'Yotzem Yodi Osol Lias Achayel Azeh, and the emphasis here is on the word Otzem, which means strength. What it means is, if a person convinces himself that everything is in his hands, Kochi V'Yotzem Yodi, he's under the impression that he's wealthy because of what belongs to him, exclusive to him, what he created and what he earned. He's not willing to give tzedakah. Tzedakah, meaning goodness, ne'imus to another person, in a Beinonim L'Chaveru context, is a result of the opposite of Kochi V'Yotzem Yodi, the Welt Anschauung that says that everything belongs to Hashem. That nothing is mine in any sense, or I created it. Break down all those boundaries. The way to success is really giving tzedakah. That sounds antithetical, but tzedakah itself is a tremendous skula for ashirus, because what is tzedakah? Tzedakah in its essence is a reflection of a certain level of spirituality, where I see and I understand that everything that's mine really is not mine. It was all bestowed upon me as a divine gift. And therefore, such a person will break down the boundaries between people. He will understand that these boundaries are really just illusions. They're created by physicality, but in truth, everything belongs to Hashem. All the wealth that I have is not mine. It's a blessing from Hashem. Such an attitude will be perfect, will engender ne'imus. And that's the ne'imus of someone who doesn't say Kochi V'Yotzem Yodi, it's mine, but rather the ne'imus of someone who understands that we have to break down the boundaries that separate people and think that man and his fellow man are just different entities and so forth and so on. Break down that competition. Be or join, shall we say, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, the Chachomim of ne'imus. The emus, number one, as we saw in the Malbim, is a spiritual attribute, which leads to a ne'imus in the social, ethical sphere of Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Now let's hook back to Yaakov HaTzadik, to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik has a tremendous blessing called ne'imus. And ne'imus, as we saw in the Gemara in Sota, is a ne'imus of Bein Adam L'Chavero, a ne'imus of recognizing that I want to work in cooperation with others. It's not Kochi V'Yotzem Yodi. And that kind of ne'imus of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, of Man'imim Zeh Et Zeh Behalacha, comes from an attitude of, I look at someone and I see him not as my adversary, my competitor, but I see him as someone who can be helped if I can help him. I can be kind to him. Let me explain. When we walk around the streets, when we interact with people, whether it's in the Beis HaKnesses, we're based in the Yeshiva, wherever it might be, Do we take the time to ask ourselves how we can be kind to them, how we can help them? What are they missing? What are they lacking? This is Yosef. And the episode that's paradigmic about Yosef's ne'imus in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, his care for others, is the story of Yosef and the Sar Mashkim and the Sar Ofim, in which he looks at their faces in the jail, in the depth of this depraved existence of incarceration, looks at them and says, Madu aponim pneichem royim ayom. What's going on? There's something different today. What, did you have a bad dream last night? Why are your faces so sour? So sad? You see that Yosef had an unbelievable midah, an attribute to look beyond the Dalet Amos, the four cubits of himself. Not just selfishly about himself, but to go out and see what perhaps he could do for the benefit of others. How can he do acts of kindness, helping others? That's the kind of ne'imus that Yosef represents. He is exemplary. He is the paradigm of ne'imus, of caring for someone else, to look beyond himself. And here perhaps we can answer one of our basic questions about why Binyamin waits until his fifth son to name him Naaman after ne'imus. It's true on the one hand that this attribute of Ne'imus was evident from the moment that Yosef entered into this world. His mother presents a supplication to Hashem, Yosef li Hashem ben Achem, may Hashem grant me another son. Now, it sounds like strange that Rachel Imenu is requesting another son. She immediately after she had been granted the fulfillment of this great bracha of Hashem, and she gave birth to her first son. But the answer is, we can understand, as soon as Rachel looked at this baby, Yosef, she perceived in his face a tremendous capacity for generosity, for pleasantness, for doing and looking at and do good for others. Ah, so Rachel says, if that be the case, and this is all based on Ruach HaKodesh, if Yosef is such a person that he can reach this tremendous level of generosity and pleasantness, then Yosef li Hashem ben Acher, Hashem, I request of you another son. He too will be a kind person, a magnanimous individual. That is the type of son, number two, that I have the audacity, so to speak, to petition for and to request of Hashem a divine gift of another son, just like the first son. And if this be the case, Rabosai, then perhaps we can answer our most fundamental question about the Ne'imus of Yosef. Why is that Ne'imus sandwiched in the middle of those names of the first four and the last five sons of Binyamin, names which commensurate with Yosef, which represent Yosef's time in captivity, and in the middle punkt we find the name Naaman, the pleasantness of Yosef? And the answer, I believe, is that although, no doubt, from the moment he came into this world, Yosef was born as a kind, as a pleasant person, a benevolent person. That was his very nature. And therefore his name would have to reflect that. But nevertheless, it was only years later, when Yosef was subjected at the age of 17 to the challenges, the anguish and the suffering of being humiliated and physically incarcerated, thrown into the bar. And at that point, what is a person, a normal person, a member of, you know, reformulate it. You know, when a person is born with a certain midah, and again, there was no doubt a recognition of Yosef's ne'imus as a natural, innate, inborn attribute from the time he was brought into this world, but that's not the real That's not the real true ne'imus. That could be only a superficial ne'imus. At what point does ne'imus come to the fore and express itself as something genuine, as something deep and profound in the essence of a person? Oh, that's going to happen. That's going to become clear and evident much, much later in Yosef's life. When he is subjected to endure the extreme difficulties, the humiliation, the challenges of being captured, of being incarcerated, of being accused as a criminal. And again, the rank and file citizen would have a response of being bitter and angry at the world and at God, chas v'shalom, for this terrible situation that he finds himself in, this adverse situation. No, that's not Yosef. Yosef still remains honest and dedicated to Ne'imus on the deepest level. There he sees in the jail two ministers of Pharaoh, and his behavior is exemplary. It becomes clear when he looks at their faces and asks them why they are, you know, such sour today. His Ne'imus is not just external but internal. It represents and reflects his essence. Yosef had no reason to be pleasant. His ne'imus, his pleasantness, was a reflection, was a gilui, if you will, of something much deeper hidden within his very essence. It's not external. Even in the most unpleasant circumstances, when you would expect him to belong to the Chachmei Bavel and be one of the Machablim, be a rod of destroyers, just the opposite. He becomes exemplary in ne'imus. He feels for those who are around him. He identifies with them. He empathizes with them. He remains true to ne'imus, even in the face of hardships, even the low state of shiflus, the lowest of the low, deprived state in the bottom of a dungeon. Now we have proof positive that ne'imus stems and emanates from the deep, and most profound level of the nefesh of Yosef. And that's why Binyamin goes out of his way to sandwich the name Naaman in between the first four names, the last five, in between names that were given to commemorate the extreme hardship that Yosef had to endure, and those names after number five, that means from 6 to 10, likewise have to do with his galus and his anguish and so forth, his humiliation. But right there in the middle, embracing it all, is the Naaman of Ne'imus. A Ne'imus that is genuine, profound, and penetrates down to the depth of one's soul. Not this external, but here's the challenge, here's the hardship. You're in a state of adversity, and can you still be totally loyal, if you will, to Ne'imus, to look around, even in your low state, at those who are suffering as well, who are living in this dungeon, and ask and see, what can I do to help you? That's the Ne'imus of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef indeed becomes the paradigm of Ne'imus, first in his own personal, inner, spiritual attribute of Ne'imus. He's always Davik Belokim, and number two, Memela, in that spiritual realm, he recognizes the dedication, the kindness, the cooperation with others. We're not separate, we're not out there to undermine, to destroy each other, but rather to work together. In that pleasantness, he looks at others and he tries to see how he can reach out, how he can help others. And that's what happened with the ministers of Pharaoh. We now can swing back to the Braisa in Masechta Sofrim that we began with, the Braisa that darshins the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ma Yofis Uma Na'amt. The Masechta Sofrim in the 8th Perek wants to understand what's the difference between Yofis and Na'amt. Yofis is the mezuzah, and Na'amt is the Ner Chanukah. One on the right side of the doorway, the other on the left. And the reason for this is because there are two essentially different mitzvahs over here. There's the mezuzah and the Ner Chanukah. Let's start with the easier of the two, and that's Ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is pirsum hanes, to have an impact on others, to spread the miracle, to publicize it, to have an influence on others. You're spreading the light to others. Chazal say that's manoimt, that's naaman, that's ne'imus, pleasantness, that's a magnanimity that stems from spirituality. That's the ability of a Yosef HaTzadik to care for others. And even in the most dire straits, that's true, genuine, profound ne'imus, to care for others. That's the Pirsumei Nisa. The Ner Chanukah is from the Bayis and Lachutz. The Pesach Beso Ulachutz. The Mezuzah, in contrast, is a mitzvah within the Bayis. It means that the mezuzah is at the entrance to the bayis to protect the bayis, both physically in terms of possessions and, more important, spiritually in terms of all the challenges of influences that are negative to try to penetrate into the bayis. We need that mezuzah. The mezuzah is the shmirah for the bayis. And in that sense, it is just the opposite of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is klape chutz and mezuzah is klape apnim. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that the word yafeh, the beauty, represents the beauty of the house, whereas ne'imus represents going out of the house and having an impact and inspiration to inspire others. The pirsum hanes, ne'imus is Chanukah, ne'imus is Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef and Chanukah go together as one. They both represent paradigms of ne'imus, of caring and being magnanimous. Not I am the beginning and the end. Kolchi v'yotzim yadi, the whole world revolves around me, myself, and I, in a self-centered kind of Weltanschauung. On the contrary, care for others, look for others, how can you help them? That's the impact on others of ne'imus. That's Chanukah, is called manan, the pirsum hanes. It all relates to the spiritual quality of ne'imus that spills over and expresses itself in a pleasantness towards others. That's what the Ner Chanukah represents. That's got to be na'amt, the yofi of mezuzah. That's something totally different. And now perhaps we can shed a light on Rava's statement in the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Beis about Hayatofus Ner Chanukah v'yomed lo'asa lo klum. If he's holding on to the Ner Chanukah, he has not fulfilled his mitzvah. Someone who sees him holding on to an Ner Chanukah comes to the conclusion that this was a candle that was lit for his own use, litzarko. It's not meant to be a teacher and a spreader of miracles. The mitzvah therefore cannot be fulfilled in such a way. If it appears that it's one serving his own needs, that's what Ner Chanukah, then he missed the entire point of the mitzvah and he accomplished nothing. We have to accept upon ourselves the ne'imus of Yosef HaTzadik as our paradigm. We have to accept upon ourselves the ne'imus of Chanukah. It is now Vizos Chanukah, the last few moments here in Eretz Yisrael of Chanukah. And although in Chutz Lartz they're getting a little extra time, another few hours, depending upon which part of the globe they're in, but at least in the West, we still clutch and hold on to this ne'imus, the ne'imus of Chanukah, the ne'imus of Parshas Miketz, the ne'imus of Yosef HaTzadik. We ask Hashem to inspire us, to guide us, to give us that siyata d'shmaya, that we can acquire a true ne'imus. We can fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah and acquire ne'imus. We can merit the light of Chanukah through our embodiment, our implementation of ne'imus in caring for others, with that spirit of cooperation and kindness to spread the light. And then, Emir Hashem, will be able to shine the light of Oro Shel Mashiach into this world. B'mheirav Yameinu Kein Yiratzon. Amen.